come up out the ladies. Dome with it, hit home with it.
Call ladies, wrong ladies, with ladies. It. Smooth jazz.
I know.
This
is a morning podcast. This is not a late night. This is Mondays with A&J, not late night with A&J. Okay?
Mondays, smooth jazz. It's Jay.
No,
here.
Stop.
Reporting live. Ladies,
nobody
wanna ladies,
hear
ladies
this.
Around the world. All the ladies in the front row.
Ew,
ladies around the world.
There's no ladies who want you.
Ladies.
They don't want you. Thank you. You put ladies. Them to sleep for the wrong reasons.
Yo, wake that ass up.
Hey, good morning. It's Mondays with A and J. Yay. I'm A.
And I'm J.
And we are young. Well, some of us black, some of us professionals talking about real shit at work that you can't talk about at work. Y'all know what it is, that real shit, those real jobs, and people like yourselves, the realists. Jay, let's get into this shit.
Well, last episode, we explored stories that made me think A's name was short for Alcoholics Anonymous. And on this episode, we'll discuss the employees that are coming to work with the red eyes, and it's not their allergies. Mm. But first, we have this advertisement from our affiliates.
People who want to start their own podcast keep asking us how we got our podcast on iTunes, Spotify, and all of these major platforms. But let me tell you a little secret there, guys. We use Buzzsprout. Buzzsprout is a great podcast host that will give you a great-looking podcast website, get you listed on every major podcast platform, detailed analytics to see how people are listening, tools to promote your episodes, and much more. Following the link in the episode description lets Buzzsprout know we sent you. Get you a $20 Amazon gift card if you sign up for a paid plan and help support our show, Mondays with A&J. So join over 100,000 podcasters like us already using Buzzsprout to get their message out to the world. The team at Buzzsprout is passionate about helping you succeed. Click on the link and get started.
Yeah.
Okay, so y'all know we got the pink slip moment where we bring you stories of the people who did dumb shit and had to get let go. Now today we bring you the story of a maintenance manager fired for overtime fraud.
Maintenance manager, step into my office. You were fired for overtime fraud from the Southeastern Pennsylvania Transportation Authority. You were cheating your company, cheating yourself, cheating your subordinates out of money. I know we've all been there, wanted a raise, couldn't get a raise, and we all thought about it, but that don't mean we did it. You were making a range between the mid 70 to high $70,000 a year. And that wasn't enough.
Not enough.
Well, I looked it up. The median household income in Philly is about $46,000 to $50,000. According to census.gov. And you just wanted to be greedy.
Greedy.
And look at you now. You had a pot to steal from, and now you don't have no pot to piss in. So from the management and staff here at Mondays with A&J, you're fired.
You're going to have to get your ass up on out of here. All right, now. Have a blessed one. Be safe. Stay healthy. All right. Bye-bye.
Oh, well, today's topic, drugs at work, goes very well with the fired part for the workers that are firing it up. Now, last episode, we did talk about alcohol. So, A, which one do you think is worse to be doing at work? Alcohol or drugs?
To be doing at work? Probably the worst one to do while you're at work is probably drugs. Because I feel like that is just way more apparent than alcohol. But I feel like the worst one overall is alcohol. I feel like those have worse effects than some drugs do. What do you think?
Yeah, I think it just depends on the amount that you're taking. I think one thing that we do know is that a lot of companies are drug testing. So they're not usually doing it for alcohol, but drug testing is a thing.
Mm-hmm.
And what do you think are some jobs that should probably be drug testing but aren't?
Well, definitely one that comes to mind are teachers.
Hmm.
They might get drug tested when they first get hired, but like after that, they're not. And I feel with such a great responsibility, like taking care of the nation's children, they should be drug tested. I feel like there's nobody who would want a drug addict around their child, right? Or somebody who's currently off on drugs.
Yeah, because teachers are around kids for, what, 8+ hours a day, and you got, yeah.
They need to be able to be focused, alert, aware, and I understand that there's some drugs that make you focused, alert, and aware, but at some point you crash. And we don't need the teachers crashing because we don't need the kids being like, Mommy, Mrs. Samuels passed out in class today. We couldn't wake her up. Like,
and speaking of crash, that just reminds me of a story of drug testing where like this, I worked at a rental place and a girl crashed into another car.
Ooh.
And on the spot, immediately, they sent it. It's like protocol where you have to be drug tested.
Mm-hmm.
Because they have to find out the reasoning. Were you under the influence?
Right.
And then I think at that point, you know, whatever escalates after that.
Did she get fired?
Whatever is after that. I don't know. I personally don't know. I wasn't trying to sit around to see. I just know I went inside telling everybody in that. I was like, yo, y'all should have been out there. She crashed into a wheel.
Did she look like she was on drugs?
I know she fell out the car.
She fell out the car.
Yeah, so she hit one of the little walls. Like, we have these walls that protect to make sure the cars aren't just, like, leaving the facility.
Right.
Like, people are stealing them. So she ran into one with a truck. The truck was, like, unscathed. But she had, like, fell out the door. So they had to, like, come get her from, like, with ambulances and the stretcher and stuff. Well, you come on. You know, if you under the influence, you got to act like it wasn't your fault. You got to be like, nah, that wasn't me.
I guess. That's crazy. Well... All right. yeah, you shouldn't be using drugs if you work at a car rental place either. But they probably actually do test. The other job that does not test, which I think a lot of people mm-hmm. know, but unfortunately a lot of people don't know, are doctors. Doctors are not drug tested. So yes, when you go in for your checkup, yes,
Hold
when
up.
You go in for surgery, yes, when Mm-mm. you go in for your pap smear, your doctor could be high as a kite, okay? And there's nothing that we can really do about it. And I was doing my research, right? Because I was like, yo, why are doctors not drug tested? Because you got people who sit in cubicles 8 hours a day. There's
and they're getting tested.
Not tested at all. No lives in their hands. No children to care for. No elderly to mm-hmm. care for. But they got to be drug tested. But doctors who determine life and death in so many cases... They don't have to be drug tested. And the doctor's reasoning was because it violates their privacy. I was like, well, damn, don't it violate all our privacy?
Everybody's privacy. What you mean?
And the other thing was apparently it would be too expensive to regularly drug test all physicians in this country. So they don't. And one thing, the other thing that a lot of people don't know is a lot of doctors actually don't work for the hospital.
They're independently contracted.
Exactly.
Right?
So technically, you know,
can't be regulated.
Exactly. So, but still, it's like these people, somebody should be watching after them, right? So the rate of addiction in the country is about 10% of the general population. That's the same for doctors. It's about 1 out of mm-hmm. 10 doctors have an addiction to a drug, not just a casual user, an addiction. So you can imagine how many also just casually use drugs. And we're not just talking mm-hmm. about, you know, a little weed, a little Mary Jane. We're talking about cocaine. We're talking about heroin. We're talking about PCP.
Yo, if I am on a on a surgery table and my doctor,
why do you think they're so confident?
had just did some heroin.
Because
I kind of could understand the weed aspect because there are people that get tested, and I do think it's unnecessary, similar to like sports athletes, because what we found in weed is it helps with anxiety, it helps with concentration,
right.
It and smoking it slightly increases lung capacity. So like in sports like, you know, track, basketball, swimming, like you always hear about certain athletes, you know, having a past of smoking weed. So there if there are these additive effects that are actually helping out, I don't see the, and it's natural. It's not like taking a whole bunch of steroids that are altering your body. So I don't really see why like sports or, you know, professional athletes are even having to be tested as much as they do.
I mean, I get it, because you want to make sure everybody's ideally on an even playing field, right? So you don't want anybody to get a potential edge. And so drugs can do different things to different people. So, you know, marijuana might give somebody a little bit of edge, or a different drug might give people a little edge, or, you know, pills, popping pills, things of that nature. Mm-hmm. And of course, steroids, as we all know, give people an edge. And so if you have to eliminate it all, right? Because somebody might be like, well, it doesn't do anything for my sports ability. It just calms me down. But you don't know that. So you got to take all that off the table, because then you're going to get into arguments of like, well, that wasn't a true win, or that wasn't a true loss because so-and-so. Because
you were on something. Mm-hmm. You were on something when you won that championship.
Right, so they have to eliminate it all together. And like we said earlier, corporate America, a lot of people get drug tested for what? So you can sit at a desk or a cubicle and answer phone calls? Like, it's just irritating. I think some other fields where they do test and it is necessary is like construction. Yes, those people need to be drug tested, because they're the ones with the cranes carrying all the big amounts of materials above cars passing over a highway. Like, yes, you need to be sober and clear as day, because I don't need you thinking you picking something up and you accidentally drop something out the sky.
It's like the old cartoons where like they would drop like the anvil.
Yes.
Like that, or piano. Like I don't. Exactly. Like, I don't want to be driving up to, you know, McDonald's and they drop up.
Exactly.
A piano.
You did. So they need to be tested. The people who work in pharmacies, they're around drugs.
They're not tested?
No, they are tested. And rightly so.
Okay, that makes
because
sense.
If you're a pharmacy technician, you can't be coming up in there stealing drugs and getting high on the job and all. Mm-mm. So they get
tested. Some people would say that is a work related bonus.
Well, you try it and you tell me how it works. And the other thing are casinos. They drug test casino workers really often, probably to make sure they're not stealing, right? And probably to make sure that they're alert enough to know that people who are playing the games aren't stealing, right? Because if you out of it, somebody might take a little extra chip and you don't even know, or you might be real friendly, like, here, chips for all
casinos
y'all.
Casinos are trying to keep as much money as possible.
And they don't need you messing that up. And last but not least, which we're a little bit familiar with, is the government. The government, they don't want you doing no drugs. Okay? You can be a lot of things in the government, as we've seen with the people who run our government. But a drug user? No, you cannot.
Did you get tested when you... Did you have to get drug tested when you... Because I didn't get drug tested when I got my government job.
Yes, I did. I got tested. Now that I think about it. No, I could have sworn I got drug tested. I definitely got drug tested when I was contracting.
So what was that experience like?
I mean, as a woman, anytime you go in for like any type of women's exam, checkup, or anything, you're constantly peeing in a cup every time. So I feel like I've peed in like 100 cups. So it's like, it doesn't, it is nasty, but I mean, it doesn't make me feel any different nowadays. I'm like, okay, pee in a cup. And I've never been violated in any way. Like, I've never had anybody like watch me do it or anything. I think the furthest is that I went in one time and they told me that I couldn't flush it until they viewed it. And then that's when I could flush it, after they like viewed my urine in the toilet. Ooh. But I actually don't know from my federal position, but they're big on drugs, because that's why they polygraph people, right? In order to get security clearances. Like, that's the one thing they'll find out. They'll ask your friends, your family, your past neighbors. They want to know if you're on that stuff, because then you might give away the government secrets. So, yeah, so speaking of earlier, when I was talking about invasion of privacy, that's a huge issue, right, when it comes to drug testing. So you have doctors who think it's an invasion of privacy, because the big thing about drug testing is that it doesn't really denote that you're on drugs currently while you're at your job. It can only denote mm-hmm. past usage of drugs. So you could have been doing whatever over the weekend, right? You could have done it on your vacation, on a break, mm-hmm. you know, or you could have done it weeks prior, or sometimes months prior, and it's not even affecting your job at hand. So that's what people don't understand, because they're like, I'm not currently on drugs, so it's not affecting my work. And most people are able to pee in a cup, right? Because urine is the number one way, because it's not invasive, it's most cost effective, it's easy to process and analyze. But then there's some jobs where the people actually have to have somebody come into the bathroom with you, see you drop your pants, drop your underwear, inspect your genitals, and watch you pee into the cup.
I can attest to this. This wasn't my life as you know, working in corporate America, but mm-hmm. when I was an athlete in college, which was technically still a job because mm-hmm. we couldn't have other jobs while at school. I remember a year where I had to provide urine samples 3 times, and every single time the guy was literally right over me while my was out and I'm peeing in this cup, and it was so awkward, just the silence. Where I vividly remember one time, like, I just asked him, I said, is there any way I can turn on the water? And he's like, because I needed something to fill out this just awkward silence of this man over my shoulder watching me.
Eggplant.
to make sure I'm not putting like apple juice or something in my, you know, mm-hmm. urine sample. Yeah.
That was definitely. I can't imagine a woman standing there like, watching me use the bathroom. Like, that would be, I feel like that is indeed an invasion of privacy. I mean,
but you guys get to sit down at least.
Well, no, women squat. We squat. Ain't nobody sitting down on a public toilet. Yeah. That's nasty.
Yeah. I'm sure that they're like squatting away. Like,
pee in front of somebody. That nobody.
Of course not.
Because the thing is, this is a stranger. It's not my mama.
Yeah, it took me maybe 2 hours. I had to keep coming back and getting water, like drinking Gatorade and stuff. And they just like, well, take your time. And I'm like, I've been here all day. It's time to go. And it was just such an awkward situation.
Your body's shaved now.
Yeah, I'm not. Yo, I'm a full proponent of the one stall rule. Like, you got to be away from one space. You got to have one stall in the middle, one space in the middle.
Oh, my gosh.
Like, you're not going to be rubbing elbows with me, my boy. Like, no.
Yeah, they trying to make sure that y'all ain't trying to play this system. Okay?
Yeah.
That's a big problem. So, we know, because it's a system, things aren't always fair between black and white. So, even though... And I actually don't know the exact statistics, so I ain't gonna lie on here, but I'm pretty sure white folks do just as much drugs, if not more, than black folks. And I feel like
I actually have those numbers.
Oh, fantastic.
So according to the National Survey of Drug Use and Health, white drug use is about 7.7%, blacks is about 6.9%, mm-hmm. Hispanics are about 7.1%, American Indian / Alaskan Natives, 10%. Native Hawaiians and Pacific. Yeah. Native Hawaiians / Pacific Islanders are 9.3%, and Asian Americans 4.8%. So there is a stigma that black people, like, I read an article where it asked employers, what does a drug user look like? And they automatically said it was a black man.
Of course.
So just from these statistics, we see that that blacks aren't using drugs at a higher rate than anyone else. Like, it's there's disparities for no apparent reasons. It's all based on these these previous prejudices that we have, where we just automatically assume that blacks are the drug users when the statistics say the complete opposite.
Well, that's what's shown in media, and that's what's shown in the courts, right? That's what's seen in the jails. Because the white folks that are doing drugs aren't going to jail and getting arrested and showing up in court at the rate that we are. You know, you know people who got life, you know, without parole over weed. And you got people, you know, you got these white people who are just huge dope fiends, you know, selling crack to kids and nothing. Yeah, it definitely has a big effect. Even the testing itself, you know, like I said, urine is primary, but you also have hair testing, right? We have blood testing. There's other ways to determine if you have blood in your, I mean, drugs in your system. And so hair tests are actually something that people like to stay away from because they're a little bit racially biased, right? Hair tests are highly sensitive to cocaine and hair that is thick and dark rather than light and fine hair. So most black people don't have blonde fine hair, right? So, or fair, lightened or fair hair. So the hair strands will actually incorporate more drug in it if they're darker and thicker, like a lot of our brothers and sisters. So that just means that if white folks are doing the same thing, they have a better chance of getting away with it than black people do. So it's not accurate at that point. Also, something I found out the other day, really interesting, the amount of drug, okay, so people do hair testing, the length of your hair matters. Because if you have a long strand of hair that they use, then that's how far back they're able to trace your drug usage. So if you have really long hair, they might be able to trace your drug usage back a year or more. And so if your hair is really short, or if it's like in a fade or something like that, then yeah, they might only be able to trace it back for like a week.
So I guess I shouldn't get my hair straightened, right?
And you should keep your hair cut, fellas, because the longer the strand, you know, the worse of a chance you have being found out. So, yeah, that's definitely a thing as well.
Now I did find, I found an article that, because the idea that we're presenting here is that there is this perceived bias in the workforces that the user is, the typical user is black, which we've kind of, we've already seen that from the statistics that that's not the case.
Yeah.
And I found an article by the economist Abigail K. Wozniak, and it's based around the discrimination and the effects of drug testing on black employment. Some of her findings were that in states that adopt, automatic pre-testing legislation, there's actually an increase in black employment, and there's also an increase in wages. So the logic behind it is based on the statistics that we presented, that if you are drug testing everybody, you'll see that the numbers aren't as, it's not like every drug user is black.
Right.
And in these areas where they're adopting it, they are more, they're more urban areas. They're more areas that are more together. They're like, they're cities. So the increases in wages are already higher in those areas. And what we see in these areas also for black people as a whole is that there's an increase in health and pension plans at these larger companies.
Right.
So it almost makes you think that, well, as I've always said, black people shouldn't always have to live in Atlanta to get some type of justice. And that also goes to say that black people shouldn't have to live in Atlanta or any other larger cities to not be discriminated upon in regards to drugs just because the color of their skin. Right.
That is true. I definitely agree. So don't come to Atlanta. We fool y'all. So with all that being said, now we're gonna let y'all know some different methods to get around drug testing, because we know y'all gonna do that shit anyways. Okay.
Whoa. Not our listeners.
They gonna be lighting up, smoking. You know, unfortunately, I don't even say unfortunately, it might be fortunately, I get offered, you know, to smoke often and I have to turn it down. Because I'm a lady, and because my job doesn't allow that. But a lot of my friends who are professional and a lot of peers and a lot of people that I work with. They're into that stuff.
What methods are they using?
So, a lot of information out there will tell you to drink a lot of water. Like, just guzzle down gallons of water before your test. It's the dilute and shoot method, right? So dilute before you shoot. But this is the thing. Some drug testing places, if your pee comes back too clear, they'll be like, you got to come back and do it again.
Yeah, we know you've been drinking a lot
of water. So there's some vitamins and supplements you can take to color your urine yellow. To make sure that it doesn't come out just clear, that it is a nice urine color. So that is one method. The other thing is, do not make the mistake of giving your urine sample early in the morning. And never give your first urine of the day.
Why not?
Because
I'm intrigued.
As you're asleep... You know, this is a scientist coming out. When you're asleep, the drug metabolites, they build up in your system. Mm-hmm. And so when you give that first pass of the day, when you urinate, it's all those drug metabolites are coming out. Because drug tests oftentimes aren't actually testing the actual drug itself. By then, it's been broken down. It's testing the metabolites that the drug breaks down into. And so your body processes the drugs, right, through all your organs, and then ends up excreting out your body. So you have a heavy amount of drug metabolites in your first urine of the day. So you should wait until later in the day, later in the morning or the afternoon to give your urine sample, okay? Also, if you're going to do one of those things where you have somebody pee in a bag and attach it to your pant leg, or you put it in a test tube and stick it up your butt or something. Like, make sure that it's the right temperature, okay? Because
if you stick it in your butt, it's not going to be the right temperature.
If you do that, it will be, it might actually be too warm. But yeah, if you're like pulling it out of a baggie or something, make sure that it's not like cold pee, because nobody's gonna believe
pulling
it.
Pee out of a baggie is hilarious.
So those are there's also, you can buy dehydrated urine. You can purchase it somewhere online. I don't know what the website is, but you can purchase it, and then you can rehydrate it, you know, of course, with water.
Or back to what you said, because I have a story. I had definitely had a coworker that paid me for urine for a job.
Oh, shoot.
And I was paid $40. Yeah, I was. Yes, he knew I was an athlete, so he already knew that I was getting drug tested. Now, he didn't know if I was already using some of these other methods that we said, because I still could have been doing drugs, and he would have not known. But he took the chance, and he paid me $40. And I told that man, I said, hey, this is the easiest $40 I've ever made. This goes back to when I donated plasma. That was a good $40 too.
Oh my gosh.
And and I told him, I said, if you lose this job, and you need me as a reference for your next job, I'm there.
Oh my gosh. Whatever.
I'm there. Don't worry.
But see,
I'm there.
At least you got paid, though. I didn't get paid. My friend asked me to give her a urine sample, and I just did it off the strength of our friendship.
So, oh, well. You're a good friend. Bad business person, though.
She needed pee in a hurry. I think she asked me again after that. And after that, I was like, no, I can't do this multiple times.
Charging at this
point.
But
I did do it one time for her. The other thing is, like, the lab, an old lab I used to work at, we used to have synthetic urine. And so one of the girls, she actually stole the synthetic urine from our lab, which definitely could have got her fired, and she kept it in her fridge in her house. Because she smoked. I mean, she will blow down. You feel me? Like, blow down. This is what she had in her purse. A blunt and a gun.
Oh, yeah.
That's it.
No lipstick?
No, it's just a blunt and a gun. And so, I don't know what kind of life she lived outside of work, but she did have synthetic urine. And she was like, I believe she was like letting other people use it to pass their drug tests and things of that nature. So There are definitely ways around it. People got connects. Just don't get fired in the process. That's all I say. Because we're not liable here at A&J if you get fired from your job. I'm sorry.
At all. But there are ways to order those liters of water, those B2, B12 tablets that we were talking about diluting your urine. Introducing Instacart. Save yourself that trip to the market. Instacart delivers groceries in as fast as 1 hour. They connect you with personal shoppers in your area to shop and deliver groceries from your favorite stores. There are multiple stores available with all the products you love, such as Pop-Tarts, my favorite. Instacart even highlights deals to help you save money. Follow the link in the episode description to get free delivery on your first order over $35. I need the money, man. $35. Let Instacart know we sent you and help support our show. Bringing you another Get to Know A&J game. Kiss, marry, or kill. Dun-dun-dun-dun. So what we're going to do, you guys should already know how to play this game, but what we're going to do is we're going to just name three people and we're going to ask each other if they will kiss, marry, or kill. Hopefully this is not too difficult. A is more violent than I am, so I am the killing not, part might be the easy... Oh, okay. So it might be a little harder for her. All right. You ready with your people?
Yeah, go ahead.
All right, I'll start it off. Usher, Trey Songz, or Chris Brown?
First of all, I'm definitely killing Chris Brown. He got to get out of here.
Why?
For what he did to Rihanna, no. I'll never forget him. He's dead.
He said sorry.
No, I don't give a fuck. Kiss. Ugh. Trey Songz and Usher both terrible. Oh my gosh.
I think Usher has herpes though.
No, that girl. That girl. She lied on him. I do not want to marry Trey Songz. So I guess I gotta marry Usher, and I guess I kiss Trey Songz.
Yeah. Okay. Either way, you're going to get the herps from Usher. It's cool.
I said I'm marrying you, not kissing you. You don't have to kiss somebody you're married to.
What? Yo, you... Hey, oh, you pieing now.
Okay. So now...
It's on me.
Fantasia, Angie Stone, or Missy Elliott?
I probably have to kill Angie Stone.
Oh dang, why?
Cause I find Fantasia the most attractive out of all of them, so I'm definitely gonna, you know, kiss and do what else I wanna do.
Ew.
You know what I'm
saying? Okay, Fantasia. It's just
and
kissing.
Then Missy, I'm definitely gonna marry because Missy just seemed cool. Like she just cool. Like from the music, her style, she just cool.
Got money.
That's well, I didn't even think of that one. Thank you. That is true. She do got more money than the other two. All right, back to me. Speaking of money, would you kiss, marry, kill Denzel? Dun dun dun. Michael B. Jordan. Dun dun dun. Or Michael Ealy. And if you want a bonus, you could throw Idris Elba in there as well.
Nah, that's first of all. He just already win. So he can't be included in that. I'm definitely killing Michael B. Jordan because he is a white woman lover. So he's not for the sisters. So he got to go. He dead. Michael Ealy.
Michael Ealy might kill you before you.
I'm gonna marry Denzel because he faithful. He been with his wife the whole time, the same one, all his years in Hollywood. So I'm gonna marry Denzel, and I'm gonna kiss Michael Ealy because he looked like he kissed well when he was on what's that show? What's that book Steve Harvey?
The Barbershop?
No, the book Steve. The book Steve Harvey wrote about men and women.
Oh, think like a man.
Yeah, when he was on a scene with Taraji and he made her bed and breakfast. I was like, yes. So yeah, that'd be me. Okay, last one. Nia Long.
Lord have mercy.
Janet Jackson. And Nicki Minaj.
Oh, come on. Don't even play with me. We gonna kill Nicki. That's easy.
Why? But,
bro, did you just hear the other two that you compared?
Okay, Nia Long and Janet Jackson. Like Nicki Minaj, okay?
Okay, but they probably weren't up against Janet Jackson and Nia Long.
Well, Nicki is younger, so some people.
I think I'm. Ooh, Lord, who do I? Lord, I can't marry. I just can't marry both of them.
No.
Nia, oof, but Janet.
Your time running
Anytime.
Out. Oh my gosh.
Let me start singing. Oh Lord. All right. I'm definitely gonna marry Nia Long. Cause she's younger. She's closer to my age.
Is she? No, she's not. Nia Long's almost 50, if not 50.
Janet, I think, is already over 50.
Yeah, but they might be 5 years apart at most.
So one is older and one is younger, like I said. So for my parents, my dad gonna be looking at me like, oh, you know how to pick them, don't you? So I take home Nia Long, and I kiss Janet. You know what I'm saying?
Ew. Okay, well, thank you, Jay, for playing Kiss, Marry, Kill. And thank y'all for getting to know. And Jay will bring y'all little sections like this each episode so you can get to know us a little better outside of the regular scheduled programming for our podcast.
Do we have mail?
You got
email. Yes, we do have mail. Let me check. Okay, we have a question from Ricky out of Virginia.
Ricky!
He says, how do you stay away from gossip at work without being labeled as the antisocial colleague or as an introvert? That's a good question.
You can sit there and listen, but that doesn't mean that you have to add to the conversation. Because you adding to the conversation, it makes it seem like you're picking a side. So that's an easy way of just listening, being attentive, hearing what they got to say, you know, hit them with the, oh, dang, wow, or, oh, that's cool. Like, you know, just, the signal words where you just getting them to kind of move along. But like you said, you don't want to be rude. You don't want to be antisocial. So the easiest way is to at least listen and hear people out, but maybe not add to it, because what they could be saying is just gossipy or it's information that's not going to aid you in what you're doing at work.
For me, like, you don't even have to listen. Like, I'm really big on staying away from workplace gossip. I have learned my lesson in a previous job. I was all up in that gossip, okay? Like, I was talking way too much, had too many names in my mouth, and it wasn't that I started the gossip, but I definitely joined in on the conversations. I definitely was listening hard. And I definitely became entertained by it, but then I ended up getting caught up into it too. And so, and that just proved to be hell. So I just vowed after that job, I'd never engage in workplace gossip ever again, because I don't want anybody ever to say like, I don't want anybody ever to say, oh, A was there. She was, oh yeah, A was talking about so-and-so, da-da-da-da. No. A was not. A was getting her work done, okay? Like, I don't need my name part of any conversation. So honestly, when people roll up on me and try to bring workplace information, if they're talking about a specific person, like, did you hear about, you know, Ashley? I'd be like, oh yeah, Ashley, she's so great. She's always so helpful. Even if she's not, I'm a lie. Ashley, amazing. I really appreciate the way she sends those emails and she copies those papers. I mean, she's just bomb at it, you know? Just to let them know I'm already on the positive side, and that already puts people on edge, like, okay, well, I don't know if I'm going to say this to this person now because it seems like her and Ashley are cool, you know? And so they're less likely to just start talking negatively about Ashley if they think that you and Ashley are friends. Right? So I hit him with that. Or if somebody just automatically brings it to me, I'll shut it down and be like, no, yeah, I've never experienced that with them, and they're always great and everything. And I'll try to change the subject to something that's actually work related. Oh, did you get those emails? Or do you know if we have a meeting later? You know, to show them like, hey, I'm not trying to participate in it. And once you do that a couple times, people get the hint and they'll stop bringing that information to you. So you can still talk and chat with them about work-related things or things you're comfortable with, but not about the gossip part. So that way you're not seen as antisocial or as an introvert when you're not, but you also don't want to be labeled as the gossiper either, because that will come back to bite you in the butt. So thank you, Ricky from Virginia, for that great question. If you guys have any other questions or need any advice on any work scenarios, please hit us up in our inbox at mondayspodcast@gmail.com. Hey, so now as we wrap it up, we got y'all through the beginning of the day. Now here's some new music to get y'all through the rest. Bringing you Rewind by musical artist Zay Scotty.
There is no need to brag, it was right, yeah. I'm not trying to waste nobody's time, yeah. Shorty really looking so fine, yeah. She make me wanna press rewind, yeah. Shorty, I know you knew around town, yeah. Do what you want, yeah, you know that I'm down, yeah. I wanna get to know you.
Follow him on IG and all social media at Zay Scotty, and check him out on Apple Music, Spotify, YouTube, and SoundCloud, or click the links in the episode description. If you or a friend wants to be the next Music Monday star and featured on an episode of Mondays with A&J, follow us on Instagram and tag your IG or theirs under our Music Mondays post.
Yes, yes, y'all, and it don't stop. Oh, my bad. Another episode in the books. Mondays with A&J. We live. Spotify, Apple, Google, all of our guests. The website is up, mondayspodcast.com. Check us out. Subscribe to the podcast. You already know we about to drop some new shit. But let me leave y'all with that Monday's quote by Michael Ealy. Super on brand. You know what it is. Didn't you kill him?
No, I kissed him.
Oh, okay. I know it's Monday, but it's also a new day, a new week, and in that lies a new opportunity for something special to happen.
Anyways, y'all be blessed and not stressed.
We are!
Hey.